There we go. This morning I want to speak to the children. So you adults, you can listen. But the children, I want y'all to really listen, okay? And especially I'm going to target the 14 and under. And I'm going to watch y'all. I'm going to have this sitting up front here, so y'all keep watching this so it don't get away from you. As y'all listen well this morning, maybe I'll let you come up here and grab one of them right at the close of the service. Welcome to each one of the visitors we have here. We have a lot of flawed people here this morning sitting back in that right-hand corner. I always like to use that one. And as you know, two of my grandsons are flawed Stalsuses, but they're perfect. So we're glad for that. We're glad that the flawed is spelled the wrong way, so at least it gets them off the hook a little bit. But again, welcome to each one this morning. 14 under is who we're going to be addressing this morning, and not just because that's a certain age, but I was thinking of the children. And we kind of look at the youth as starting at 15 years. Thanks, Kevin. And so, simply this morning, I've titled my message, Children Obey. How difficult is that, young children, to understand? Who knows of the young children what it means to obey? I want to see your hands. All the children that understand that. You know what it means to obey. Okay, how many of you... Okay, put your hands down. How many of you are doing a really good job? Well, we won't even ask that one. This morning, we want to talk about what it means to obey those that are in authority over us. And the biblical mandate, which means the command that God has given us in the Bible, is simply four words. Four words is all you children have to do as Scripture would mandate you. That is, children, obey your what? Ah, you're adding to Scripture, but that's I don't think you're doing disjustice to it. Children, obey your parents, and Ricky said every day. And that's a good thing for children to obey their parents. Well, sometimes maybe children don't know what it means to obey, or maybe what they think obeying is really not obeying. So first of all, I want to talk to you parents just real briefly. I've seen this quote here. It says that children are a great comfort in your old age, and they help you reach it faster, too. That connected. Then another one is that the wildest colts make the best horses. Some of you out there got some good horses going on. It's not a bad thing to have a child who is energetic. Sometimes you might think that, but there is training involved, as you well know. Again, to your parents, and I'll quit talking to you because I'm going to talk to the children. Could it be the reason your children don't obey is not because that they have not been taught, but it is because they have been taught to obey by watching mom and dad, using the theory that more is caught than taught, thereby they might be getting a mixed signal. So that's free for you parents this morning. Are you teaching your children to live and to operate in a certain way when they're actually standing back and they're watching you? And believe me, they are watching you. They're not stupid. Your children from 2 years old, 1, 2 years old, they know what's going on. Right, children? And so they become accustomed to if mom and dad tell me to obey and to do these certain things, but if they see mom and dad not doing and obeying in other areas, they won't formulate that and into words, but in their mind as best as they can, it's sort of like, well, mom and dad, they just don't necessarily always tell the truth. Maybe they just kind of lie because they're not living out what they're trying to teach us. So often, more is caught than taught. That was free this morning. Okay, children. There is not... Well, first of all, you're not supposed to turn around in church, but I'm going to let you do that this morning. Because I want you to target your parents, to look at them. Because I'm going to ask your parents a question. And that question is... How many parents, and I want a raise of hands, how many parents this morning, it overjoys you when your children obey? Let's see a raise of hands. Okay, children, look back and find your parents. Look at them. Your parents love it when you obey. You can put your hands down, parents. So children, the question to you is, do you want to make your parents happy? How many children want to make their parents happy? How many children want to make their parents happy this morning? Okay. How many children want to make their parents happy on Monday morning? Still quite a few of you. Okay. So you've seen what you need to do in order to make your parents really happy, because some of these parents probably had both hands up when we asked if it makes them happy when you obey. They love it when you obey. Parents do not enjoy spanking you. They do not enjoy making you sit in the corner. They do not enjoy making you time out. But there are times that parents have to do that. For one, so that you will grow up to obey other people and other authorities, people that have control in your life. But also, God commanded that. Aren't you glad, children, once you reach about 21 years old and you won't have to listen to anyone? Ain't going to happen, buddy. I'm a pretty old guy, ain't I? You know what? I had an encounter last night. And I'm 50 years old, and I had this little guy that was about this tall standing outside my truck with a blue light behind me. And he had the nerve to tell me that I was going 45 miles an hour, or 40 miles an hour, I'm sorry, let's not make it worse than it is, in a 25 mile an hour zone. And he also had the nerve to give me a free piece of paper for $81. And it was also just 3 miles from my house. Oh, I thought, surely this won't happen to me in my own little hometown. But you know what? I disobeyed the rules. The rules said 25 miles an hour. And believe me, when the rule says that, that's what it means. You might get by with 30, but don't push it. But I had to pay, I'm going to have to pay the consequences of my sin. And that is in violating what the rules were. You children understand that, what happens when you violate mommy and daddy's rules, right? There's things that you have to pay. And sometimes the way you have to pay is by getting maybe a spanking. Those are not fun. But you know what? The next time you do something wrong, that same thing, you want to be tempted to do that, you'll remember, that wasn't fun. Now when I drive past Dixie High School again, I remember that probably be a good thing to go 25 miles an hour or 30 and keep it at that. By the way, the parents didn't hear that. They're not supposed to be listening, so they don't even know that happened to me. So don't tell them either, okay? When I was a little guy, probably your age, Carson, we grew up, we were poor, but I didn't really know we were. But there used to be, you could buy candy in these bags at the store. You take and just dump in whatever you want, and then you pay so much a pound. And my mom, every once in a while, she would buy some of that, but then she'd kind of put it up in the cabinet and hide it. And I found it one day. Oh, glory. And I got to eating candy. And after I was done, I realized that somebody was going to figure out that there was not the quantity of candy in there that there was before. And we had a lot of old batteries around the house, little batteries, you know, that go in tape players and stuff. And I got the bright idea that, you know, hey, a battery, it's not worth nothing. It's a dead battery anyhow, but I can stick it in that bag and nobody will ever know. And I did. What do you think happened? Well, I'm not sure what all happened there, but I was found out. Because batteries aren't a whole lot of fun to chew. They're not sweet or nothing. In Numbers 32, verse 23, and it's the story of Moses telling the children of Israel what God had told him to tell them to do. And he said, you go do this and God will be with you, but if you don't do that, you will be sinning against the Lord. And then he says, and you can be sure that your sin will find you out. So children, this morning, you can be sure that when you do wrong, your sin will find you out. And you know what? I'm going to tell you a little secret that your mom and dad might not want me to tell on. Your mom and dad are not as ignorant or as man, I don't want to use the D word. They know more than what you can look at them and it appears that they know sometimes. Long way around saying that. But you know what? As hard as it was to believe that I was a young kid one time, every one of your parents, I think, used to be little kids. So they know a lot of your tricks. You know, and sometimes you think that you're really getting something over them because they didn't, you might have sinned, you might have done something wrong, or you snuck some candy, and you're like, they never even said nothing. They don't even know it. Don't count on it. They know a lot more than you think. And they might just be waiting and let it build up a little bit till you commit enough of these wrongs that they're really going to nail you. You will be found out. Your parents know a lot more about you and what you do and how you respond than what you think. In Exodus, very first part of Scripture, Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And one of those Ten Commandments says that you are to honor your father and your mother so that you may live a long life. And that is what we know. It's the first commandment with a promise. So when we honor our parents, and maybe we'll talk about that at a future time, but when we honor our parents, obeying them also has to do with honoring them. And as we get older, our positions change and the way we relate to our parents change. But we never get too old that we don't have to honor our parents. That's for everyone. But children are mandated in Ephesians that they are to obey their parents. And as I said, the command is very simple for you children. All you have to do is obey your parents. And that will have God be pleased with you because that's what He wants. He wants children who honor, who obey their parents, and obey their parents the first time. That's important. That you obey right away, because if you wait to obey, that's disobeying. Honor your father and mother. The very second book in the Bible says that. There's a quote I found. It says, every child is born into the world. Excuse me, let me try that again. Every child born into the world is a new thought of God, an ever fresh and radiant possibility. Now I want you to understand that what that means. And this, it's, I read it first and I was like, that is not a true statement, because it sounds like every child that's born is, it's like God just had a thought, let's let this child be born. No, there is no new thoughts for God. God knows everything. But every child that is born into the world is a new thought to each one of us that experienced the birth of that child. It's a new thought to us that God is giving to us. It's a thought that God's already had and knew that was coming. And He's allowing us to have that thought and to process that thought. And it says it's an ever fresh and radiant possibility. Each one of you children were not born by mistake. Each one of you children, God has a special purpose and a special plan. He is already knowing what you're going to be doing 10 years from now or 20 years from now. Boys, He even knows who you're going to marry. Uh-huh. If you'd marry, huh? You might not, but good chance you might. Don't say you won't. Another quote says, the potential of a child is the most intriguing thing in all of creation. When you have those young children on your lap, the potential that you have there, the possibilities are endless. Children, do not ever allow anyone to limit you to what you can do for God. There is no limit to what you can do if you allow God to work in and through you. Psalm 127 says that sons are an heritage from the Lord and that the children are a reward from Him. Well, I think when it says sons, it would mean sons and daughters. They're a heritage, which means they're something that to be treasured. Do you think your parents treasure you, children? How many children think that their parents really treasure them, that they think you're a real gift? You don't think your parents don't? I think I could freely say that every one of you children here are a treasure to your parents. And you're also a treasure to God. You, the Bible says you're also a reward. You are a reward to your family, to your parents, children. God gave you into the home that you're in as a reward to your parents. So what we want to tell you this morning is make sure that that reward that is a reward right now that does not turn into something that they look back and say, wow, I wish this would have never happened because it's turned out to be really, really bad. Don't ever get to a point in your life where you turn your back on God, because that is the worst thing that you could do in God's sight and also in the sight of your parents, is to turn your back and reject what God wants you to do. Because that makes God and your parents think, wow, it would have been better if this child would have never been born, than to think that they're now living a life and they're living for the devil. They're not living for God. And what if they die like that and they would go to hell? That's a terrible, terrible thought. There's not a parent here that can even hardly bear that thought. So children, you are a reward from God. And in order to maintain that, you are continuing to be a reward. Make sure that you live your life every day doing the things that you know God wants you to do. And children, it says that you are a reward. But you know, sometimes parents get frustrated with you. And there's things that you can do to minimize, to make so that your parents don't get frustrated. And there's things you can do to make your parents proud in the right way of you. And one of them that I was thinking is that when your parents are with other adults and you're there with your mom and your dad or your mom or dad and they're talking, don't interrupt them. Don't interrupt your mom and dad when they're having a conversation with someone else. You know, it can be very distracting, and When a child will not let a parent have another conversation with another parent, you know, if they come up and they're always, Dad, 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 when they're talking, come on, Dad, hey, Dad. But children, here's the thing to do. If you want your mom and dad's attention, mom and dad, listen. You can listen on this one. Children, if you would take and just, when you want, if you need to know something while your mom and dad are talking to someone else, just, children, just put your hand either on their shoulder or on their arm and just hold it there. But don't say anything. And then once they're at a point to where they can quit the conversation just for a little bit, then they can look down and say, yes, what is it? Much, much better, because, you know, your parents, they can become really aggravated too, right? Don't raise your hands, but we call it frustrated. When we talk to our children, we say they get mad, but parents seem to get frustrated. They don't get mad, right? Don't interrupt while your parents are talking. That shows very, very much disrespect to your parents. And then the other thing is recognize that someday you're going to be big and you're going to get old, just like I am. And there's some people in here that are even older than I am. Treat old people with respect. And by that, when you walking past them, don't just act like they don't stand there. But when you walk past an old person, even do so much as look at them, maybe even offer to shake their hand. You don't know what for impact you have on old people if you give old people some attention. Old people like attention. You know, we think, well, good night. These people are just so old and they don't, you know, they're about ready to fall off the rock and they probably don't even know what's going on anymore. They're so old. I mean, whoever heard of somebody being 50? I mean, that's just ancient. But you know what? Even at 50 and even at 60 years old, we still like attention. We like when the children give us attention. We like when the children talk to us. We like when the children treat us like someone that they enjoy being around. And even if, as you grow older, try to find exercise the gift of finding things to talk about that you know old people like. That really makes a big impression on old people, is when you talk about things that they like to talk about. And they will really, well, they might even give you candy and stuff later, I don't know, but you don't do it for that. But old people enjoy having the young people talk to them. Whether you know it or not, you are the pride and joy of older people. And I'll mention it later on too. But you know, there's a saying that goes around that our young people are the church of tomorrow. I'm here to tell you that statement is a lie. Our young people are the church of today. Because if we don't have the young people and the children today, there's not going to be no church of tomorrow because the old people are going to die. So young children, young people, young youth, you have a very vital role. Today there's many churches that you could go into that we don't have what we have, they wouldn't have what we have here, and that is children and young people. Maybe their youngest person to have is 50 years old, one that's about ready to fall off the rock, you know. That's all they have. Well, you know what? If something doesn't change in that church is going to have to close its doors and put up the sign and says, we're not meeting here anymore. There's no one left. So children, young people, y'all are the church of today. Jesus was very, very sympathetic, loving to the children. And it's quoted several times, numerous times in Scripture there in the New Testament where Jesus did different things. In Mark, there's one place, Mark 10:13, it says the people were bringing little children to Jesus to have Jesus touch them. And you know what? These old goofballs that Jesus had that were called disciples, can we call them that just for now? They actually rebuked these people that were bringing the children and said, you know, they're like, no, don't be, it's like, you can't be bothering Jesus with these little kids. I don't know what all they said. Maybe they said, get him out of here. Jesus got important stuff to do. But you know what Jesus' response was? He says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Another word for indignant would probably be ticked. That would be a good word, one we'd understand. Jesus was maybe mad. He did not appreciate his disciples doing that and talking like that about those children that he loved, because he dearly, dearly loved the little children. He said to them, let the little children come to me and don't you hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So children, remember what I said about talking to old people? We need you to be an example to us, because Jesus himself said that if we don't become like y'all, we can't get to heaven. So we need y'all around us in order that you teach us how to get to heaven. Because Jesus said, if you don't become like these little children, you will not get to heaven. And I don't think Jesus was joking. It says he was indignant, remember? He was ticked at his disciples for trying to push the children away. In Matthew 18, it also says that, unless you become as little children. And there the conversation was when the disciples were talking about amongst themselves. I don't know that Jesus even heard them, but you know, he was God, so he knew. But the disciples were talking about who was the greatest. The disciples, man, they thought, you know how we get sometimes when we hang out with important people? They were hanging out with some pretty important person here. Jesus. I mean, Jesus himself they were with. And their questioning was, who's the greatest here? Their argument was too that they wanted to sit on the right side of God, even of Jesus, even in heaven. And Jesus didn't appreciate that. And somehow, I don't know that he even heard them, but somehow he knew what they were talking about. You know why? Because he was Jesus. He was all knowing. He told them again, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then in Mark, there's the same parallel scripture to that, and I won't go into that. But Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves every one of you little ones. And old people also love all you little children. Sometimes old people get kind of impatient because of maybe the way you act. If you whine and you complain and you come around and hit on them and stuff like that, do things to kind of irritate them, they don't like that. Old people they don't like stuff like that. But they love when you come talk to them and you give them attention and so on. Old people love to watch little children. You can go into a grocery store and have a young child, and an old person will be in there, and a lot of times that old person will just watch because they remember the days that they had a young child. So you children have a lot of influence. And we'll talk about that just in a minute here, even in Scripture, how that happened, that children had influence. So children, you want to obey your parents, right? You want to do what your parents want, and ultimately it's to please God. And that's the only way you can please him, is if you obey them. In Romans, Scripture even refers to us as God's people as being children. God refers to us as being children. When he really wants to make a statement, he talks about us being as children. He says in Romans that we are heirs. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Why doesn't he say that we are God's adults? But it says now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we also share in his glory. That tells you a little bit what God thinks of children, doesn't it? And in Colossians 3, there's several things that it tells us here. And again, I'll just quickly mention these things. But in Colossians 3, verses 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22, it says, verse 18, it says, "Wives, submit, husbands, love, children, obey, fathers, provoke not, and servants, obey." So children, in there, sandwiched in there, it says that you are again to obey. But before that, it gives these different things that we as adults are supposed to do. Each adult, we all have responsibilities. So you children, it's not like, well, God told you that you have to obey your parents and that the adults get off scot-free, they can just do whatever they want. No, we adults have to obey authority and those that are in charge over us. Remember the story about the police officer that gave me that blue piece of paper? I was much older than him, but he was my authority, and he had the right to make me pay $81 because I violated. Then the last verse of that in there in Colossians, it says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And again, parents, so often what the children see modeled is more so what they'll obey than what they're, quote, taught. And you might even have a good teaching and a training program that'll last for a spell. But you can be assured that as your children grow up and they see mom and dad say one thing and do another thing, down here we call them sot dots. Say one thing, do another thing. So remember a sot dot. Don't be one. Don't be a sot dot. Say what you mean and mean what you say, and the things that you ask of your children, make sure that you're not being hypocritical in the way you're living your life also, because your children will see a lot more what you're doing than what you're trying to tell them. Oh, Matthew 21. It's where Jesus had his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And, you know, they were putting all these branches down and things for Jesus to ride in on the colt. And earlier in that scripture, it says that the crowds were saying, "Hosanna to God in the highest." Oh, they were just rejoicing and praising God. But I thought it was interesting. It says, verse 9, that the crowds went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." That was the adults. It says, "And Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this?" Okay. And then after that is when Jesus cleaned house in the temple. Remember that one where he knocked over the tables of the money changers? Can you imagine that? Jesus wasn't going to put up with no junk like that. Carry on. And in verse 15 it says, "But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did," and this was after he knocked over the tables of the money changers, "when they saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children shouting in the temple area, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant." Remember that word, indignant? This was the chief priests and the scribes now. Well, it doesn't say anything earlier in that scripture that it even caused any kind of an uproar to them when the people were saying, "Hosanna to God in the highest." But it says, "When the children shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' the chief priests and scribes, they sat up and take notice, and they were ticked." They did not appreciate that the children were doing this. They said in verse 16, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. Jesus says, "Yep. Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise'?" These children, I think, probably made a noise that was a shout and far above maybe what the crowd that said it earlier. We can learn from that even today. We see that even today with the children up here today. They grabbed that mic, and some of them, they were just willing to, "They don't care. I don't care what you think. I'm going to sing." And we can get up here and we say, I'm so excited that Jesus saved me, and I'm just overjoyed that life is so good. And you have people sitting in the crowd that aren't saved, and they're like, that's what I want. I want that kind of... No, they're not. That's where we look back at the children. You little children can be an example and are an example to us, because you get up and you say what's on your heart. And if it's praising God, you're going to do it. And so often the children, as they get older, they start pulling back. Why? It goes back because more is caught than taught. They see that big people don't express themselves to Jesus in such a foolish way. Why, they are dignified and they quietly express joy to Jesus Christ and their, you know, their quiet joy that they have. More is caught than taught. But when they're little, they're still innocent enough that they're just going to praise God. Children, we need y'all to continue to be an example to us, okay? Shout it out, these praises. Okay, in closing, Mark 9, again, verse 13 through 16, talks about where the children were coming and disciples rebuked Jesus for allowing these children. Verse 16 says that Jesus took the children in his arms and he blessed them. Another place it says, I think, that he put his hands on them. Jesus was passionate about caring for the little children. Jesus set our example. So should we be. And so often, we neglect our children. To bless them and to praise them for being a gift from God. Children, you are the church of today.